come and said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
No other place I'd rather be except heaven itself. Amen. And that's where we hope everyone is bound. Amen. On your way to heaven. Amen. Amen. Because he is able to do exceeding and abundantly, he said, beyond all we can ask or think. Amen. Uh-huh. So we're going to go ahead without any further delay. And
amen.
Do want to talk with you today on a subject the Lord put on my heart that I think is appropriate for the season that we're going through as a church family. Amen. And I'm talking to you just a few things on this subject. I think it will bless your soul. I hope it will. And as I meditated on this, it did quite a bit for me. And so I'm praying that this will overflow and spill over onto you, and you will also understand. Amen. Let us stand and read together Proverbs, the fourth chapter, verses 1 to 7. And as Brother G already let the cat out the bag, it's one of my favorite passages, I have to say. Amen. And we're going to go right on from this point and have a reading of the word. Just read with me. This is the King James translation. Chapter 4, Solomon the writer reads like this. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We've read the writing from one of the most wise man has ever lived. Of course, except Jesus. They'll put that in. But Solomon was given more wisdom than any man that ever lived. You can't read anybody. I don't care who it is, Socrates, Plato. No, God says, I gave you more wisdom than any man. Amen, because he asked for wisdom. Amen. Now, moving on to Romans 11, 25 to 29. Now, this is from the NASB, the New American Standard Translation. Read with me Romans 11, 25. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From that standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. You may be seated in the sanctuary in the presence of the Lord. And we're going to talk with you just a little bit on the topic of maximizing the gifts and the calling of God. Maximizing the gifts and calling of God. Let's pray. Father, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you for your holy word, thank you for the visitation of your spirit, O God, in worship and praise. And Father, we ask you to continue that spirit of praise as we study your word, Father, as we hear a word from on high. Bless every mind, every life, every person that's come in under the sound of my voice, Father. You said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And we have come together today, Lord, to hear a word from you, Father. We need a word today from on high. Father, we have had rough things happen through the week. Some things that were disappointing, oh God, and we've had some things going on all around us, bad news everywhere. But when we come to the house of worship, you give us good news. You give us good doctrine. You give us good sound teaching. And Father, we want to hear a word from you right now, Lord.
Right now.
And We ask this in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the risen one. It's in his name that we pray, and the church said together, amen. 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 Go ahead and bless God with a praise at this moment. Amen. So he is worthy to be praised. Amen. Just a few things crossed my spirit as I was looking at these verses. And I just have a few things I want to talk about. Now, one thing I have to say, we focus a lot on numbers today in our culture and in the world. The world focuses a lot on numbers. And I want you to know God focused on numbers as well. He has a book in his word, as you all know, called the Book of Numbers. And so God does focus on numbers in one way or another. But it's not necessarily on the numbers the way man looks at things. Because God sees things in a totally different way. And I want to give you some emphasis on that this morning, because when Jesus came, he called 12.
Uh-huh.
12 disciples.
That's it.
I look around, I see more than 12 in the house here. But when Jesus came, he came to do business, eternal business, for God. He called 12, one of which betrayed him, right? Before the whole situation went down. And then he called the Apostle Paul later on to fill in. But he was working with 12.
Yes.
And when I thought about it, I said, you know, that blesses me. Y'all know y'all have heard me talk about this before. But if I could get 12 people in the room to listen closely to the voice of the Most High God.
All right.
You know what? There's a church going on right now. We're a part of it. That started with 12. 12 people sat at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
They traveled with him. You know what? They didn't have to finish the whole 3.5-year lesson. You know, he starts sending them out early. He said, my message is so simple, you can go today. Go out to the villages of Israel and start to tell them the good news, the gospel of the kingdom.
Yes.
That God has made a way for you. You know, it doesn't have to be fancy. You don't need to get a degree. You don't have to have a certificate.
All right.
Just go out and tell them. And if they hear you, stay with them a while and feed them a little bit more of the truth of the word of God.
Come on.
The Messiah has come.
Yeah.
The one God promised has showed up.
Yeah.
He came to do everything that Moses said and everything that the prophets wrote about and to fulfill all that. He didn't come to abolish the law,
come on,
but he came to fulfill it.
Right.
And so just go tell them that. Get on out of here, y'all. Two by two. Get on, get moving. He sent them out. So there were six little groups walking down the roads, the dusty roads of Jerusalem, going door to door and kingdom to kingdom. Tell them Messiah is here.
Yeah.
And we come to announce good news from God. That he has sent the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some of them said, get on away from here. We don't want to hear that. He said, shake the dust and keep on moving. So they shook the dust. They went to the next door. The Messiah is here. And they came to let them know. And so this went on in the villages of Jerusalem. Jesus was trying to get the church used to, you go and you tell them.
Yeah.
Because I got other work that I'm taking care of.
Right. Mm-hmm.
On a grander scale, I'm going to pay the debt for the sin of the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
See, and while you're going, you tell them. Now, he also congregated with people.
All right.
And like it says in Matthew chapter 5, there was a sermon preached on the mountainside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people just gathered there because Jesus was going around proving, not only was he preaching that he was the Messiah, but he was giving sight to the blind.
Yes,
he was healing leprosy.
That's right.
He was raising the dead.
Yes.
He was showing them that this is the power of Almighty God.
Yes.
People have been possessed of demons. He was telling them, let him go, loose him, and let him go.
Yes.
And the person was set free, back clothed, and in their right mind. So the fame of Jesus went out all over the place. People came from everywhere, all around, when they heard about a man that was giving sight to the blind, healing the sick, raising the dead. A man that spoke like none of the scribes and the Pharisees ever spoke. He was a man of wisdom. He spoke directly and with authority.
That's right.
And so basically he was a man, the greatest man that ever lived in the sense of being a human, because he exceeded everything that he is human. Because the reason being, he's not only human, he's the only person with two natures. He is 100% man, but he's also 100% God at all times. So Messiah came to fulfill that which had been written in the scriptures, and he called 12.
Yes.
He knew one of them was going to be a snake and turn on him. You have that sometimes. We've had some samplings of folk who you don't know, and next thing you know, they with you, then next thing you know, they're not with you. So you know what? I said this myself. I was settled in my mind while I prayed on that. Because I said, if folk walked away from Jesus, who do you think you are? If folk walk away from your ministry and they don't receive what you have to say, who do you think you are? You're a good company. All right. They walked away from Jesus and hit the road and went on about their business.
Yes, they did.
John 6:66, if you want to look it up.
All right.
They walked no more with him. They turned back soon as the road got tough. Jesus propositioned them about lunch. He said, you all follow me because you want lunch.
Yep.
You ate the loaves and the fish and you were filled. But now, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you.
All right.
They said, well, this is a hard saying. We can't accept that. And they turned around and hit the road.
Yes, they did.
Walk with him no more.
That's word.
John 6:66.
That's right.
You don't know why people are following you.
All right.
Why are they trying to get in your inner circle?
Yes.
Why are they trying to get close to you? They might be trying to get close to you to stab you in the back.
All right.
So you have to watch out for it. Even some secular folk wrote about that. They smile in your face and all the time. All this kind of thing. You see. So you have to watch. They say your enemy can't do you no harm because you know where they're coming from. But don't let the handshake and the smile fool you. He said, take my advice, I'm only trying to school you. And even though that's secular, it's Bible. Not everybody is going to be your friend. They might smile in your face, but you don't know what they're thinking.
All right.
But the one that sticks with you through thick and thin, that's your friend. The one who you can call on any time of day or night, they're there for you when you need somebody to lean on. That's why I put it in my spirit to sing that song, Lean on Me. See, if somebody is there and they're there for you to fill in something in your life when you have a need, that's your friend. So don't be mistaken. Everybody is not your friend. Not everybody is your friend. They might grin in your face and show up here and there. But that's not your friend necessarily. Now, I want to move on into the text here because this gets gooder and gooder as we go about it. Y'all don't mind my bad English. This is what Solomon said. Now, Jesus said that Solomon was the most wise man, but he told him a greater than Solomon is here when he showed up on the scene. But let's listen to the mind of Solomon. He says here in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, hear ye, children. Now, you know, all of us are children of God.
Yes, we are.
The instruction of a father. And attend to know understanding.
All right.
See, attend. If you want to have understanding, attend. Come when God's word is going forth.
Amen.
Be there.
Amen.
So you can know understanding. Because
yes.
God wants to teach you how to mince through everything you're dealing with in your life.
Thank you.
You know when he does it? He does it when he speaks his word into your heart and into your spirit. He says, for I give you good doctrine. This is good teaching. Forsake ye not my law. Listen to my law and get it in your spirit is what he's saying here. It's good. It's going to do you good. It may sometimes the word when you get it, it slap you a little bit.
Yes.
Or it might knock you around. You might say, oh, that cut me there. You see. But if it does, we need it.
Amen.
Not everything is going to be peaceful and necessarily just great with you right away. Some stuff God says to you is going to rock your soul.
Yes.
Because it needs to be rocked. If you get rocked when you hear something from God, just accept it. He loves you. He's already accepted you. He's covered you. So no matter what it is you're dealing with, I got your back. But I want to help you how to get from point A to point B. That's what God is saying. I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Ye, that's plural. I mean all y'all. To put it in modern English. That's why I like that King James. For I was my father's son. Now, it sounds almost like this is moving into a grandparent kind of a stage. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother, and he taught me also and said to me, let thine heart retain my words. You see that?
Yeah.
Keep my commandments and live. That's the difference. If you listen to God, he's speaking life to you.
Yeah.
I got something for you going to keep you alive in the midst of trouble.
Yeah.
I got something for you when somebody else might want to snuff you out. I got you covered.
Yeah.
Listen to what I have to say. He says, and live. See that? Get wisdom. Now, you know what? We don't know how to define wisdom hardly these days. We think wisdom means a lot of different things. The Greek word for wisdom is Sophia.
Yeah.
Some ladies are named Sophia. It means wisdom. Okay? But wisdom is the application of knowledge, but not just that, it doesn't stop there, to the glory of God.
That's it.
That's real wisdom.
Amen. It's
when you apply knowledge to the glory of God. A whole lot of people got earthly wisdom, but they ain't thinking nothing about God. They ain't studying God. How can I stack more money over here? They're only really thinking about money. That's why Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. You know, you have to serve one, love the one, or hate the other, or despise the one, or cleave to the other, but you cannot serve God and money. Some people are using their wisdom and their knowledge simply to stack up money, but they're not actually impacting the world for God's purpose. So real wisdom is when you use the knowledge God has given you, and it ends up to the glory of God. That's what makes it real wisdom. See, you may not have a lot. Somebody looked at Jesus. They talked about him. As a matter of fact, I don't have time to show you this morning. But they went around and said, oh, that little group of folks, they had bad stuff to say. They put slanderous words out against them on the street. You know, and all the people who knew what he did, they understood who he was. Some people could see past the fact that it's just a little band of guys going around here talking about the kingdom and all that. You know, they could see past it because they knew they had a spiritual insight into what God was doing.
Amen.
And then the whole movement that he started with 12 is still going on right now. That's why St. Timothy exists. That's why I like the name, because Timothy was this next generation from Paul. Paul said, I got to train up somebody else because the outer man is decaying and the inner man is being renewed day by day. Got to be somebody else in the next generation who loves God and knows that he already came. He gave his son to be crucified. He buried him in the grave, allowed him to be in a borrowed tomb, raised him up to show you he has authority over death and the grave. And that if you trust him, that's the simpleness of the gospel. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, anybody, and everybody, that's who God wants to save. You know, and think about this. We don't think that way because we got a group of folk we don't like. There's some folk over here we don't care for. There's some folk over here who done me wrong. Some folks over there ain't studying me. They don't do anything to help me. See, so we don't think that way. We have kind of segmented ways of looking at things. But God loves everyone. That's hard for us to really get in our spirit. He loves everyone. You know, people who did you wrong, God loves them, but he wants them to do what Solomon said. Right. Listen to my word. Hear my doctrine. Do it my way. Keep my law. If they don't do it, that's not God's fault. Right. The people not doing it are just not hearing. They don't have godly wisdom. Right. James said there's two kinds of wisdom. There's wisdom that comes that's demoniacal and sensual. Right. That's man's wisdom. But the wisdom which is from above is peaceable. Yeah. And it brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
All right.
See, it obeys God and does the truth.
Yeah.
See, it walks in what God says, not just talks about what God says. But we see that. We saw it in the history of America. A whole group of people said they were Bible-based, but we don't mind if we enslave some folks and turn them wrong.
Right.
See, stuff like that. You aren't obeying God's word.
Amen.
If you did that. You didn't do that right.
Amen.
And this is not the only generation of people who've been enslaved.
Right.
There have been slaves all the way back from the book of Genesis.
Come on now.
And it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing if the person is willfully doing it and they're not being abused. And some people even signed up to continue to be a servant. They put their ear to the doorpost and sit and stick through with it all to say, I want to stay with you because I enjoy working for you. So there were indentured servants. You can read about all this in the Bible.
Amen.
But we think that the whole epic of slavery is an American paradigm. It only happened here. But that's not true. So hear all of God's words so he can really bless you and give you some freedom when other people are struggling with issues that are going on in your time. Realize that God doesn't want anybody to disobey his law or treat anyone bad.
All right.
And he doesn't want anyone to be broke or poor, but he said the poor you have with you always. You know why? Because there's people who are too greedy to share what they have or to treat people correctly. So there's always going to be some folk disadvantaged. See, but you can get out of it. Let me tell you, if you're disadvantaged and you don't want to be, start listening to God.
All right.
I've told this to a lot of folks, homeless and in jail and stuff. Start listening to the Lord.
Put your ear to his word. Hear his wisdom. He'll show you how to get right. He'll show you how to possess things in this world. He'll make you the head and not the tail. He'll show you how to be in front leading in things rather than following and picking up scraps. He can do that. And so we have to listen to him. Now notice what he goes on to say. He taught me also and said unto me, verse 4, let thine heart retain my words. Don't forget what God said. Let your heart retain it. Keep it in your heart. Keep my commandments and live. Remember that? Now get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Sometimes stuff in the world makes you want to forget what God said. Well, that ain't fair. They doing me wrong. So we skip over what God said. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Even though it don't seem right what you're going through, don't decline from the words of my mouth.
Yes.
Forsake her not. Keep the wisdom of God. And she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Now that name Sophia here is given in this, the word wisdom here is personified as a female. Mm-hmm. It says there's a female personification in verse 6.
Yes.
Wisdom is the principal thing. Principal means what? Number one, right? Mm-hmm. Therefore, get wisdom. Get wisdom. It's something you can get. How do you get it? Sit under God's word.
All right.
You sit under the word. You know why? How can we say that? How you say that, preacher? Well, the Bible says faith comes out
by hearing.
Hearing by the word of God.
It
doesn't say reading.
Right.
You can read it,
right,
but it's a difference when you hear it.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
Hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
You need to hear the preached word.
Yeah.
That's what God has ordained. That's why people think preachers are nuts and all that, I guess, in the world. God says, hear the word preached.
Yeah.
It's going to change you. It's going to adjust you.
Come
it's
going
to make you what I want you to be.
Yeah.
Faith comes by hearing, he said. So in all you're getting, get understanding. Now you might say, well, what does that have to do much with this whole thing of maximizing the gifts and the calling of God? Do you know no one comes to God unless he calls? If he does not call, there's nothing in me that makes me capable of seeing that I need God in my life.
Nothing.
Ephesians 2 says we are all dead in our trespasses and sin. Dead. That means even though you're living, walking around, breathing and talking and you're doing everything, you're dead to God.
Yeah.
It's the walking dead. They think that came from some movie script.
They did.
A long time ago. The fact is, everyone who doesn't believe God, the Bible says, is spiritually dead. You are dead in your trespasses and sin. Paul said, he said it about himself. He was dead before he knew that Jesus is Lord. Because he was opposing God, opposing the church, opposing the 12. He hated it. He hated Jesus. And he was going down to rub it out and destroy it. But he was on the wrong side.
Yeah.
There's only two places you can be in the world. Either you're on God's side or you're against him.
Come on.
You trust his son or you don't.
That's it. That's it.
And people want to tell you, oh, the devil's really confused. He's got millions of religions. And everybody want to say, well, that's your truth and this is my truth. Well, you're dead. The Bible says you're dead. Without Jesus, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who can make you alive. No one else. And so I want you to see that it behooves each one of us who are members of the body of Christ not to sleep on the realities of what thus saith the Lord and his word. Don't sleep on it. Nor be caught up in a stupor of the apostate church. There's a lot of folks out here with a shingle up talking about they're the church. But you won't understand the truth of God until you get in his word. You know, a whole lot of people have service and they may hear one verse in the whole service. And the rest of it may be something from somebody, but it's not from God. So don't get hung up in the apostate churches, which is the predominant status of the visible church. There's more doors open saying we are the church, but are they proclaiming and making plain to you the word of God?
All right.
That's what the real church is. It's the church who explains the truth to God's people. See, and as it was splintered factions of Judaism, that's the way it was when Christ came. There were some scribes, there were some Pharisees, some Essenes, some zealots. There were all kinds of people. The different names of groups that had splintered off.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Most of them didn't believe in Jesus.
That's right.
The majority of them did not. Whether they were scribes, Pharisees, Essenes, zealots, very few of them believed. These were what we would call denominations of Judaism. Y'all got all these denominations and you got all these divisions among yourselves, but you don't believe he's the Messiah. The purpose of the scripture was to tell you that Messiah is coming. Yeah. Moses wrote about Messiah. Yeah. David wrote about Messiah. Yeah. Isaiah wrote about Messiah.
Yeah.
We could go on and on through all the prophets telling you about Messiah. Right. Y'all studied it all your life, had your head filled with the knowledge of it, what it said, but you didn't believe him when he showed up.
Wow.
You missed his credentials. As he was healing the sick, raising the dead, you said, well, he's doing that by Satan. They gave the devil credit for what Jesus did.
All right.
Because they were so stuck in religion that they didn't believe when the Messiah actually showed up. So we don't want to be hung up like that. This was in the first advent of Jesus. See, in order for us to really be salt and light to the world, we better confront people about their error, where they're out of sync with the truth.
Yes.
Where God said, you know what, you don't even love them if you won't tell them the truth.
All right, come on.
You don't love them at all. As long as I want, that's my cousin, I don't want to break his heart. He believes in Buddha. Well, Buddha's going to send you to hell, cousin. You need to repent and trust Jesus.
All right.
I don't want to see you in hell and have God put your blood on my account.
All right.
So I need to tell you about Christ.
Yeah.
And so I have to confront you if I'm going to be salt and light.
Amen.
So wisdom and understanding are parallel gifts from God to anyone. Look at this. He doesn't care who you are. Don't care where you came from. Don't care how you was raised, what you was brought up in. Anyone who seeks them wholeheartedly and are promised in both the Old and the New Testaments. God has always been a rewarder of the ones who diligently seek him. As Solomon wrote in the Proverbs. And in the writer of the epistle of James in the New Testament, that we already referred to briefly. James, there's two different ways of wisdom. There's the wisdom of the world, and there's the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
We want to wax in the wisdom of God. We want to grow in it.
Yes.
We want to hear from God. What does God say about a subject? What is his opinion on it?
Yeah.
What does he think about it? See, and God has already published it. This is the beautiful thing about God. You can go one place. And there are 66 books, love letters from God. And you can get everything you need in one spot. God is not the author of confusion. He's not going to have you running to and fro and going here and there. He said, I said what I said. That's it. I'm done. Don't need to say anymore. My people will be fed on this until the trumpet sounds. And when I'm going to show up one day, and the folks who really have studied what I said, they're going to know who I am.
Yes, we will.
You're going to know. His people will know him. See, they will not accept another. They will not accept anyone else. They grow in the truth. They walk in the truth. They study the truth. And we know that doesn't mean we're perfect.
No.
I wish it did. I really do. I wish I could tell y'all today, well, I'm perfect. I've got everything done and I don't make any mistakes. I can't tell you that. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross.
Amen.
Yes.
Because you got issues.
Amen.
Got stuff ain't right.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Got stuff still need to be fixed.
Oh, yes.
But God loves you and he's fixing it.
Yeah.
And he's going to keep doing it. He does it by the washing with water, by the word is what he said.
By the word.
You know, when you stay in the word, he's going to cleanse your soul. He's going to give you conviction on the inside so I can say, I don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I can see a better way around this situation than doing it the way I've been doing it. See, and so that's why we must have the word. The word is essential. And this is true wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God. Look what happens here, and I want you to see this. Our time is getting away. Romans, and the reason we go here is I want you to see that these Jews who rejected Jesus when he first came, many of them still reject him today. And you might wonder, how can the Jews reject the Messiah? He is Jewish.
Yes, he is.
We act like we don't like Jews, a lot of people today. I love the Jews. God loves the Jews.
Yes.
He's never going to change on it.
Amen.
So if you got a problem with them, don't look at the people you say you know who you think are Jews and judge who Jews really are based on them. Don't do that. Look at what God says about the Jews. Realize your Messiah is a Jew. Jesus is a Jewish kid. He was born out of the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through 12 tribes. And God, through the tribe of Judah. I like what you said there. That's right. And that's why they call Judaism the religion out of the tribe of Judah. Now look here at Romans 11:25. Paul says, it is a mystery. It blows our mind when we consider the people through whom he came rejected him.
Yeah.
But it was no surprise. God wrote it in the Word long before it happened. Mm-hmm. So Paul was one of those haters. He was a hater who hated Jesus. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. He had to get fixed on the Damascus Road.
Yeah.
He had to realize that you are the Christ, uh-huh. the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Lord, what would you have me to do? He said. He told him, go on down there to a street called Straight. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's not incidental. I'm going to get you straight, Paul. Right. Go on down there to a street called Straight in Damascus. So he's the one who writes this. I just wanted to set that background in your mind. He says, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed. The King James says ignorant. Mm-hmm. Don't be ignorant about this mystery, yeah. so that you don't have to be wise in your own estimation that a partial hardening mm-hmm. has happened to Israel. Mm-hmm. So what happened to the Jews? Messiah came, they rejected him, and God's judgment fell on the ones who rejected him. Mm-hmm. Did you know that? And it's a mystery, because why would he do that to his own people? Mm-hmm. You know why? Because he wanted to bless you and me. Yeah. He wants the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. Yeah. And he already knew the people would reject him. Yeah. That's why it was written down so clearly in the Law and the Prophets mm-hmm. that Jesus would come and be rejected by his own. John said he came to his own, but his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. Yeah. So Paul said, don't let that trick you, because a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. He says, and so all Israel will be saved. The real Jews will be saved. God will lift the veil off their eyes in the last days. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. That's a way of speaking of the Jews, the Jewish people. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. He quotes from the Old Testament. And so from the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. God promised Abraham, in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And I'm going to bless them all. And even though they're still here, there are some Jews who believe today.
Yes.
There always have been some Jews who believe. Did you know that? Right now today, even though the majority of Israel does not believe, they're still in the news. They're a tiny little speck of real estate that's in the news all the time. Why? Because God is keeping them, and there's coming a day when he's going to turn away their unbelief. In the meantime, he's given the rest of the world time to get in on the good news of the gospel. He's given me and you the privilege to participate in putting the word out. So why should we shut our mouths?
All right.
All right. I'm not shutting my mouth. I'm going to speak up loud.
Yeah.
I'm not going to shut my mouth. I'm going to publish it and broadcast everywhere I can. Because God wants everyone to get in on the good news be saved.
Amen.
He loves you just like you are, and he's made a way for you.
Yes. Yes.
And so you and I need to be more vocal, not less. The world is saying, oh, that's your truth. You need to keep that inside your walls. Mm-hmm. The church says, no, we're going out into the world. Jesus said, go into the hedges in the highways and compel them to come in, and my house might be full, to the ends of the earth, and I'll be with you. Mm-hmm. See that? So you and I have to do that. We want to make ourselves occupied in that. We want to trust God's word enough to be a part of the vehicle of salvation too, because we don't know when the end of the times is for the times of the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles. So we want to preach long as you have breath.
Yeah.
Now notice this, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Yeah. King James says without repentance.
Yeah.
In other words, God called you out of the dead. He saved you. He has equipped you. He has filled you with his Holy Spirit. And now he has given you calling. He called you out of the death, the deadness of our old life, into a new life, into his marvelous light, Peter said. He called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light in order to gift you with gifts of spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Every one of you who trust Christ has spiritual gifts. I'm sure there's people in this room who believe Christ. You have gifts you don't even know about. They're in you already. The Holy Spirit's given them to you. And he wants you to maximize that, not minimize it. The world wants you to shut up and suppress what you have to say. The world doesn't want you telling people about Christ. But the Spirit of God in you says, speak up. And I'm gifting you. It may not necessarily be preaching. You don't have to preach. You know what? The way you live, this is what Jesus said. He said, if you trust in me, you are a city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid. They see what I'm doing in you, even though you are not even saying a word. I can see it in you. When people at your job notice the way you carry yourself, because you're saved or at your school or whatever, you know, they can see the light in you. Because God put it there. It's in there. He said, but don't put it under a bushel. Sometimes we do. We want to act like we're not Christians. You know, we don't want to confront anybody. But he said, don't do that. Put it on a lampstand so it'll give light to the whole house. You know, don't cover over it. Be bold in the Lord. So this message is really about maximizing the gifts and the calling that God has given you. And I'm happy to see if I have 12 people who agree with me, don't agree with me, but only because I agree with him. I'm not asking you to agree with me. Read the word and agree with God. That's what I'm doing. If I got 12 in the room who believe God and realize that he protects you, he covers you, he empowers you, he strengthens you, he heals you, he delivers you, he does everything that you need. He is your backup if you need a backup. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemy. He loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He's going to fix you and make you better if you walk with him by faith. See, if that's the God that you love, then we can do this together. We can maximize the gifts and the calling of God on our life. People say, well, nothing good ever came out of Wellston. They say that about Jesus. What good thing ever came out of Nazareth?
Come on now.
Nazareth is that place way over there on the other side of the tracks. Don't nobody go over there. Nothing good over there. You know what? It has nothing to do with it. God sent him in a lowly manner so that you would know that it has nothing to do with where you came from. It has nothing to do with who was with you in your past or any of that. It only has to do with your faith and your walk with him right now. And he has enough grace to fill you and bless you. And he wants you to just let it spill over. Don't put it under a bushel. Don't shut it down. Crank it up. In the name of Jesus. There's one more thing I want to say. So just as every believer is called and gifted by God, it must be understood that God is the one who made the decision. Do you know that? If you got called, it wasn't because you decided to call God. God called you. That's why we say we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. So it was his decision that you're saved. And therefore, he won't take it back. Therefore, pray on how you can maximize the usage and applications of what God has given you. He gave it to you.
He did.
He loves you just like you are. He said, if you trust my son, if you believe that I raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God is the one making the decision. All you have to do is agree with God. I agree with you, Lord. I want to walk by faith. He'll make the changes.
He will.
You know what? I got some more changes. I pray about them all the time. I'm sure my wife probably prays about them too. You got some serious problems. You need help. But that's the way it is. You're going to pray your way through whatever you did.
Amen.
Nobody has arrived.
Nobody.
All of us have a ways to go. But I just want you to know, get started. Get on the road. If you're not saved, do it right now. Let us stand. Ask God to come into your life. He'll do it. He wants to. He's making the decision. If you believe him, just agree with him. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. We heard the good news that you love us. You gave your son, and he was rejected by his own. But all who received him, you blessed them with the gift of eternal life. You saved them from all of their wretchedness, no matter what it is that they're dealing with. You gave them the way. You made a way. You are the way. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except by me. Somebody in the room is trusting you today and believing that, Lord. We're so happy we don't have to figure out how to make ourselves right with you. Oh, God, that would be impossible. But you gave your son so that we know that we have eternal life. It was your plan from before the foundation of the world to call us to be disciples. So bless in the room today, Father, anybody who has not made that decision to agree with you and your word, to accept your love that you've been giving all the way from the time of Adam up until now and even before. Help them to be saved right now, Lord God. Let them know that you have purchased them. You have bought them with a price. Yes. The price is the blood of your son who you raised out of the grave. Yes. To show that even death is swallowed up in victory.
bless in the room today, Father, anybody hearing this message online or however they're getting the message, Father. Help them to believe right now in the name of Jesus that they might be saved. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus that you raised him from the dead. Help us to realize even the grave is no longer a problem.
Yes.
For those who trust and believe.
My Lord.
We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus.
Jesus.
In his righteousness, we pray in the church here together.
Amen.
If you're here today and you want to come forward and express the salvation God has given you, we give you that opportunity. Amen. The Lord said to believe the gospel and be baptized, and you shall be saved. Amen. He said, preach baptism for the remission of sins as you go forth with the gospel. Amen. And so we want to do that. We want to let you know that we are here. We are an agency set up by God all the way from the beginning to teach and baptize. That's what we do. Amen. And we're going to continue to teach. And he said, do this even to the end, and I'll be with you all the way to the end. Amen. That's what we call the church.
Yes.
The church is the group of people, the called out ones. So if you're here today, maybe you're already saved and you'd like to be a member of St. Timothy. We want to give you that opportunity also.
Yes.
Accepting a member by letter or a candidate for baptism or Christian experience. Either way, no matter how that is, you may come at this time. Amen. We give you that opportunity. I would just say, come while the blood is running warm in your veins. That's what they always used to say, some local preacher. Amen. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there's room. Hope you got a blessing from the word today. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead, not to prolong the